Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All of Psalm 27. Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact and the truth in your word that you are our light and our salvation, and we need not be afraid. Father, you are the strength of our life, and we have nothing that we should be fearful of. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are strength and you are help, you are foundation in times of trouble, in times of storm and difficulty. Father, we ask that you'd more and more pour out your grace upon our nation, upon our world, Lord, and send forth more laborers who can minister comfort, strength, encouragement, and faith to those around them, Lord. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you're just as much on your throne as you ever were. And help us to be mindful of the truth that you can be trusted even through the storms and the difficulties, through the valley of the shadow of death. We can know that our shepherd is always with us. You're our protector, our strength, our guide, our help in time of need. Thank you, Lord, for being that. Use us mightily to minister encouragement and grace in your word to those around us during this time. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I want to remind you, we continue to encourage you to email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And email us to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer. Again, a wonderful and a powerful weapon during this time in which many, many are so fearful in the midst of what we see going on in the world, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and it's important for us to be mindful of that very important truth. We're blessed to have with us in studio today Tom Veeley. He's the president of New Beginnings. Tom, good to have you with us once again.
Great to be here, Joseph.
All right, always good to have you, and as we begin, I'm going to ask you to just further introduce yourself. Some of our listeners know who you are, but some never heard Tom Veeley.
I'm the president of New Beginnings International Children's and Family Services. Okay. That's the long version, New Beginnings.
Okay.
We do domestic and international adoption, located in North Mississippi, and do a lot of home studies and other services for families as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just glad to be here today.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom, for being with us. And we're going to get a chance to share. We're going to give you the opportunity to share more about the great work that New Beginnings does. And also, you'll be sharing about an important project you all have coming up as well. But before we do that, I want to share a passage of Scripture that I trust will be of encouragement and strength to our listeners. And we want to share some words of encouragement to those. There's a great need right now, Tom, for encouragement for people in our world. Lots of people are so fearful, so afraid. And And as believers, we need to be strong in the Lord, and also we need to be of strength and encouragement to others around us as well. This is from Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35, it says, "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Verses 35 through 41, Mark chapter 4. And Tom, this passage in particular, I think, is a very helpful passage to look at as we see what's going on around in our culture and in our world. Again, so many people are very, very fearful. But even, I think, many believers need their faith to be encouraged during this time as well. And I think it's important for us to know that even through the storm, God calls his children to trust him.
Amen. That's
There's
true.
There's a need for us to trust him because, again, the Lord is just as powerful during the storm as he is when the storm's not raging either. And we need to know that God's with us, you know. In this particular passage, interesting how that the disciples, they see the waves beating into the boat and they see what's going on. And, of course, Jesus has gone to sleep. He was tired. He worked a hard schedule and he was tired, just taking advantage of the opportunity to rest. But if you can picture them grabbing Jesus, shaking him, saying, "Wake up, Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die." But the reality is Jesus wants him. He asks the question, "Why are you so afraid? Where's your faith?" Mm-hmm. And God is looking for us to trust him even through the storm.
Amen. I believe that.
And, you know, I think of this. I want to ask if you'll take a moment to pray for listeners and especially for believers because, again, God desires to use us to minister to others, to minister comfort, strength, and encouragement to those around us. And, you know, if we're full of fear ourselves, you know, we may not be in much of a position to minister to others if we're panicking. And God, there's never a time for God's people to panic. So would you pray for us?
We'll do that, Joseph. I was thinking of my mother. I talked to her yesterday. She's 86 years old. And, and you know, I was calling her to say, "Mom, don't do this and don't do that." She said, "I'm not worried about it, Tom." She said, "If I die, I'm getting what I wanted to for all these years." Mm-hmm. She said, "I'm not planning on dying, by the way." So I think she had more faith than I did yesterday morning, I guess. Mm. But yes, let's pray that we will all have more of that faith in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for reminding us from your word what we are worth and that we are always in your sight. You're never losing sight of us. You're aware of where we are, who we are, what we're doing. You're aware of what lies ahead from day to day. And while we don't like uncertainty, Lord, you seem to thrive in that because you are the one who is stable and steadfast and never moving. You established the foundations of the entire universe and you have everything under control today. Lord, help us to have your mind. Help us to realize that we are simply the individuals that you created to love and worship you, and you love us more than we can ever imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And once again, just in the way of encouragement to every listener, you know, God's word says to us many times in one form or another, fear not. And, you know, the reality is we live in a world where it's so easy to be fearful of one thing or another. And so, you know, today in the world, many people are afraid because of what's going on as it relates to the coronavirus. You know, we hear of the continued shootings from time to time, other perils that are going on in the world. But God's word tells us in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." Here at American Family Radio, we'd like to remind you, fear not. Put your trust in the Lord and tell the Lord, "Lord, I trust you." That's a good confession to say many times in the course of the day. "Lord, I trust you," as opposed to letting fear run rampant in our lives. We'd like to both encourage and challenge you to aggressively put your faith to work. Certainly use wisdom and insight that medical professionals are encouraging, the washing of hands and lots of other things that they're encouraging you to do. But first, put your trust in the Lord. We like to encourage you. Again, we have been and continue to encourage you. Take it upon yourself to begin to pray Psalm 91 for yourself and your family every single day and keep your trust in the Lord. If you haven't gotten a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer from us yet, just email us at jparker@afa.net and we'd be glad to send you a copy and start praying it over yourself and your family every other day. And remember, no one can protect you like the Lord can. So put your faith and trust in Him. Again, that email is jparker@afa.net. I tell you what, Tom, we're coming up on a break in just a few moments, and on the other side of the break, we're going to get a chance to share more about, more about the ministry of New Beginnings specifically. But we're encouraging every single, again, listener to pray Psalm 91. I'm going to take a moment to pray it briefly now. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near us, only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, nor does any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands lest we dash a they bear us up in their hands lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, prayer based on Psalm 91. And once again, we want to challenge and encourage you. Email us at jparker@afa.net to get a copy of the prayer and begin to pray it over yourself and over your family. And also, when you get it, share it with family, with friends, with fellow church members, and any and everyone that you can. Because remember, this is a wonderful tool from the Word of God that we can use to combat not only the coronavirus, but the other perils and dangers in our world. So let's put the Word of God aggressively to work in our lives and in our circumstances. Well, Tom, I tell you, let's go ahead and start. If you'll share with our listeners a little bit more about the mission and the work, and we'll pick up on the other side of the break. But the mission and work of New Beginnings.
New Beginnings, as I said, does domestic adoptions. Our mission statement is about providing new beginnings, not the name of the organization, but new beginnings for birth mothers, babies, those in crisis pregnancy situations where they believe in life, and that's important. And then also for children who may be a little bit older, orphan children. We do adoptions from some foreign countries, which, of course, right now are pretty much stopped. And we serve a lot of families who are interested in adopting, whether they are childless or whether they may have older children and may be opening their homes to an orphan child from somewhere around the world or from here in the country.
Hmm. Okay. And so... you said right now they're pretty much stopped. Is it mainly because of the coronavirus?
Yes. The international travel is just shut down. China closed to families traveling to adopt. So we can continue to work with families, in our cases, mainly from China and Taiwan. But we can't do any travel at this time.
I see. Okay, then. Well, we'll pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Tom Vealey. He's the president of New Beginnings. We'll be right back.
I've been the one to share.
the music of Mercy Me. You are I Am. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Tom Veeley. He's the president of New Beginnings, a very fruitful adoption ministry. Tom, if you pick up where you left off, you were sharing about the mission and the work, but also some of the challenges the ministry of adoption is facing right now.
Well, as I mentioned just a little while ago, the international adoption, because of the travel restrictions, has shut down at this point. Many agencies, and I think we need to all look at our communities around the country where there is an adoption agency, are struggling because they depend on the continuation of adoption in the process. And if it continues, you know, too long, it could really impact them economically, which then ends the hope for many of these children in other countries. And we're talking about children who are just truly orphaned, that don't have mothers, don't have fathers, and are living sometimes in conditions that we as Americans are not comfortable with seeing, or don't even understand how bad those conditions can be. So I think being in prayer for the orphans overseas is important. Being in prayer for the families who are waiting, those that were all lined up to travel and have photos and medical information, and we're all excited. And then, you know, there are older children overseas who are aware that someone was on their way to get them and just had to stop. So there's probably a lot of confusion there, and it hurts the hearts of these little kids. And we pray for all the agencies and people that, you know, I've got friends that I just pray they have wisdom in what we're doing and dealing with. For New Beginnings, we were planning on having, and are still planning on it, a visit from 10 children from Taiwan this summer in the Tupelo area. And these children are available for adoption. We don't know what will happen with that right now. We're still continuing to plan. We do need a few more families that are interested either in adopting or hosting a child. We're looking at that. And then the other thing that I think we're very mindful of is we have birth mothers who are out there that have made a choice for that child within them to have life. They made a choice to match it with an adoptive family. And so we, of course, continue with our work. You know, we depend also on donors. So we pray that those people will be blessed and that we'll have wisdom, certainly, to be frugal in what we're doing. But also I think it's important right now. I was thinking this morning, just in prayer, was what about the young person, the young lady that finds herself in a situation right now, maybe pregnant without planning to be pregnant? And maybe she's a waitress, maybe she's a college student, and all of a sudden what happens in the country and the equilibrium that we are so used to in our country is just gone. And maybe they've lost their jobs, maybe they're wondering what to do. Maybe they're even making that decision today that is whether or not they'll allow that child to live. And we need, I believe, really to pray for the hearts of those young ladies. There is hope. There are places. There are ministries around the country, crisis pregnancy centers, adoption agencies that are there to help and really love and care for these girls and these individuals that are in need and need their wisdom for them and their families, their mothers, their dads, whoever they go to talk to. You know, God help all of us to have the wisdom at this time not to react in a way that will not be pleasing to the Lord.
Right. Again, we're not, the Word of God tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Operating out of fear is not something God's people are called to do.
So we need to operate out of
wisdom and grace and faith. And so that's important, an important word of encouragement for us to encourage each other and remind each other about, too. So
amen, certainly.
Would you specifically pray for, you mentioned birth mom, well, individuals that may find themselves women that are expecting a baby at this difficult time and feeling like maybe more pressure than normal because of what's going on to basically consider getting rid of the baby, you know, to aborting the baby. Well, again, there's such a need for we, the church, to rise up and to shine brightly for Jesus Christ, to walk in love, to reach out and to remind people of the hope that's found in Jesus Christ, to love people where they are and encourage them. Would you pray for the church to be the church during this time?
Amen. Love to, Joseph. And before I do, I was thinking, too, about that verse in Matthew where Jesus talks about the value of a sparrow. Aren't two sparrows sold for a farthing? And yet our Father knows where every sparrow is at any time and where that food is for that sparrow, and he even counts the hairs on our head. Mm-hmm. He knows where we're at. He knows where that young lady is. He knows where that unborn child is. Mm-hmm. That is of infinite value to him because he already died for that child. Mm-hmm. So just let's pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to your word and opening our eyes to the love that you have for us, whether we are that unborn child in the mother's womb and with a young lady that is pregnant with child and didn't plan to be.
Thank you.
If she is in just a situation today and listening to us where she doesn't know what to do, where she's going to be talking to her parents, pray for the parents to have wisdom, her mother and father, her grandparents, all those around her, Lord, give them all wisdom, we pray. Help there not to be a reaction that is not pleasing to you, but help us to do what is pleasing to you. Help us to take time to really think what is the best thing to do and what is the best plan. And Lord, I pray for all of my fellow adoption agency directors around the country that our doors and our hearts will be able to remain open to these individuals that are in need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you, Father, for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to be your hands and feet during this time where, again, many feel themselves to be in crisis mode, where they're afraid. They're afraid of so many different possibilities of things that can happen. We see businesses being shut down in schools and things being interrupted in one way or another. Help us, Lord, as the Church, to rise up and to listen to the Holy Spirit as to ways that we can creatively reach out and love people, minister to people, help people, and encourage them during this time. Father, help us to be wide open to the direction and the guidance of your Holy Spirit, and help us to know, Lord, there's so much to be done all around us. Help us to live in a listening mode that we would be vessels through which you can reach to accomplish your will, to show the world your love during this time. Lord, I thank you again for the fact that none of this caught you by surprise, even if it seems to have caught the whole world by surprise. You know what you're doing. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us as the Church to be mindful of that truth and to know that you are our great shepherd and you can be trusted throughout the storms. And however long the storm may last, you're with us, you walk with us, you guide us, you empower us, and we're your hands and feet during this time. Thank you for the opportunity to be and do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Amen. Now, Tom, you were mentioning about the program that you all have, and that at this point you're still planning on it, though, but what specifically would you ask listeners to be mindful of as you, even though it's maybe sort of up in the air, but what is it that you're needing people to do and how to pray for that program if, in fact, it does go forward?
Yes, we have 10 children who are, the plan is for 10 children to be coming over from the country of Taiwan. These children have been living at a very respected organization, orphan home over there, that we work with a partner, so it's a partner program. Mm-hmm. The children range in age from 5 years old to 9 years old. There are two sibling groups. They are all available for adoption when they come. We do have, for those, so there's eight. We need eight families. I believe we already have three that are definitely pursuing adoptions, and they will be working to get those children to come visit them this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're looking for other families who maybe are undecided about adoption or really aren't even planning on adoption, mm-hmm. but they're willing to host a child for about a 10 or 12-day period beginning on July 18th, where then others at churches or our communities around here can meet those children, and hopefully the Lord speaks to someone's heart about adopting that child. And these are children that without adoption will never have the opportunity to experience life in a normal, healthy family with mother and father, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, for every one of these children, this is very, very important. So for prayer, praying that we will have families here that will open their hearts and open their homes to considering hosting a child. We pray for the folks overseas that are certainly probably struggling right now in other countries. It's mm-hmm. it's not just America. We like to think it's all about America. But, mm-hmm. You can imagine if we're struggling here, what's going on in other countries. And I'll probably a little bit later talk about Nepal, what we're hearing from there, one of our orphan homes there. We don't do adoption. But the struggles they have there. So there's so many needs out there across this entire world right now related to this.
That's right. That's right. And you know, Tom, I think of the fact too is in throughout the Word of God, Old and New Testament, one thing that is always big in the heart of God is reaching out to the poor, the disenfranchised, the have-nots, but in particular, widows and orphans. They're big. God has a big heart for them, and God wants His people, the Church of Jesus Christ, to always have a heart for them as well. And so when believers and or the church don't seem to really have a concern for that, that's a problem because God is very concerned about the widows and the orphans, basically those that are kind of left out in a position of need in a unique way in society. Yeah. And of course, now not in our culture, widows, not necessarily, because sometimes widows can be rich little individuals, but the reality is orphans, children without dads or moms, again, throughout the Word of God, you find that God always wants His people to be concerned about the orphans. So I would challenge and encourage every listener to pray about whatever God would have you to do to support ministries like New Beginnings with your prayers, with your finances, and otherwise, because, again, by the grace of God, God's going to get us through this storm.
That's
you know,
right.
We're going to get, one day we'll be able to look and be on the other side and we'll see that God got us through. But in the midst of that time, we need to pray and keep doing what God has called us to do, to love the world, to share the gospel, to make disciples. But in the midst of that, supporting and working with and praying for ministries like New Beginnings, because the work does go on.
Amen. It certainly does. This last weekend I was just listening to the Word. And what Jesus was talking about, what's the great commandment? Well, we think it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. We just love the Lord. Mm-hmm. But Jesus just weaved right into that, and he stepped into it, and he said, but the second is just like it. Mm-hmm. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, it's so easy for us to be egocentric and think about just ourselves at this time, but Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. What a great opportunity to be reaching out to our neighbors, to the elderly person, maybe going and grocery shopping for them, dropping the food off at their home so they don't have to be out at this time. Mm-hmm. Giving somebody a phone call, those that are in nursing homes, I understand that many cases can't have visitors. Mm-hmm. We have cell phones, we have social media, we have a phone number we can call into that room and talk to that individual and just encourage them and let them know that, hey, we're thinking about you, we're praying for you. This is a great opportunity for the church.
That's right.
To really shine and to show the love of Christ to so many.
Mm. Yeah, you know, just recently, my wife Birdie and I had a chance. We actually went to visit someone that was in a nursing home and, of course, found out when we got there that we're not allowed to actually go in. Mm-hmm. But one of the nurses graciously let us come to the window and wave through the window. And I think the individual was encouraged that we had a chance to come to see them. But there's such a need for us to understand that, again, we live in a world where it's easy to think, well, I have my groceries, I have my things in my house, and so I'm okay. But there are many others who may, for one reason or another, may not have been able to do what you were able to do. And so, as you mentioned, Tom, creatively looking for opportunities, ways that we can love people, help and encourage them is an important thing, an important reality in our culture today. So. Now, you were going to share with us a little bit more about Nepal, you said.
Yes, we had an adoption program in Nepal in about 2010. That just because of politics and different things going on, we're no longer able to place children from Nepal. But we do support an orphan home there. Mm-hmm. And I received word this past week that the director was going out and trying frantically almost to buy food. Because Nepal is supplied totally by India and China and their food. And, of course, those countries are now limiting what they're shipping out. So
I'm going to jump in here. We'll pick up on the other side of the break. Our in-studio guest is Tom Vealey. He's the president of New Beginnings. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I find my bed. This is how I find my bed. This is how I find my bed.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle.
Of Michael W. Smith, Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest is Tom Vealey. He's the president of New Beginnings. Tom, you were sharing about some of the challenges that your organization that's in Nepal is dealing with right now.
Yes, Nepal is fed. As far as their a lot of their economy, their food, the things they get for supplies from India and China, and those two countries are also in the midst of what's going on here in the world. Mm-hmm. Our director just sent us a message last week and said, you know, he's out trying to buy food in advance for the kids. And for those children, you're not talking about a lot. They eat so much rice and chicken and things like that. We're not talking about a lot of money. But for them, it's a lot. And it's not just the funds. We can get the funds there, but the problem is them finding the goods to buy. They simply can't buy. We're not talking toilet paper. Mm-hmm. We're talking the rice and the chicken that they eat. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's the actual food supply. So we need to keep, again, them in mind. And there are millions of children in those situations around the world that they're, again, I really think the good that may come out of all this mm-hmm. is we start looking outside of ourselves a little bit more and realizing we may be hurting, we may be a little bit fearful, and we may not know what's happening tomorrow. And, you know, our 401k took a dip. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're thinking, am I going to have food for the next meal or for my children? Mm-hmm. They're not worried about 401ks or our retirement. They're worried about that next meal. So there are so many individuals like that, and certainly not just around the world, but right here in our own community, in our own state, own nation. I just think it's a great opportunity mm-hmm. for us to shine, and we're supposed to do that. That's mm-hmm. what we're supposed to be. Not we're the light of the world, mm-hmm. and what a chance to be the light.
That's right. That's right. Tom, if someone wants to get in touch with New Beginnings or learn more about the work you're doing, how can they do that?
On the web, we are newbeginningsadoptions.org. That's beginnings and adoptions. Both have an S at the end. We always tell people that. NewBeginningsAdoptions.org, or they can reach us at 662-842-6752.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I think of this too, Tom, that like it's important for us to recognize that God is our source. God is our guide. He's our help. He's our great shepherd. And, you know, on the one hand, especially in a culture like ours, you know, sometimes people say, I'm trusting God to supply my needs, and they have a refrigerator full of food at home, and they have a cupboard full of food that could last them maybe for a month or two. But the reality is, if and when we find ourselves in a situation where we literally don't know where our next meal is coming from tomorrow, don't know where, how we'll be safe from a circumstance or situation or a virus or something like that, it really puts our faith to the test in a way that sometimes it doesn't, we're not used to. But it's important for us to learn better and better what it really means to trust God, to look to mm-hmm. God. But also, again, as you mentioned, there's such a need for us to look beyond ourselves because we live in a culture and a world full of need. And many times because of the way we live in our culture, we're sheltered from much of those kinds of needs in our own individual lives. So learning more about ministries that work, just like your outreach in Nepal, and praying for them, but also figuring out ways they can get in touch with New Beginnings to say, well, how can we help beyond praying as well? So that's important as well, too. So, well, what further truths or insights about New Beginnings and the work of the Ministry of Adoption would you like to share with our listeners and ways they can be of help and encouragement?
I think, too, praying for the, as I mentioned, birth mothers that are making a decision for life. But, you know, there is a great need in our country for wisdom and for repentance for what has been going on for so long in our country. Mm. The contradictory messages that we hear, and, you know, on one hand we hear that the elderly are precious and the person with the autoimmune system is precious. And I would say, you know, I've got a mother who's mid-80s and my wife has an autoimmune issue that we're being very careful with. You know, we say life is precious, and then on the other hand, we watch in the national politics and bills are even slipped through, and I understand in the fight here for this funding for the virus protection, there was something in there about abortion to let abortion through. Mm-hmm. How many children are we losing every day? How many precious, precious unborn children that the Lord allowed to come into existence? Mm-hmm. Are we just letting slip off? We don't seem to value life.
That's right.
You know, I don't certainly don't know what God is thinking and what his mind is, but when he talks about life being precious, mm-hmm. and we read about Cain and Abel and their situation, and God knew when that life was taken mm-hmm. unnecessarily. You know, what is he thinking and looking at in our country? So I think also looking at the hearts of individuals, maybe this is a time when all across America we can really take a look at ourselves mm-hmm. and pray for those around us and our leaders, which the scripture tells us to. It doesn't say which party. It just says pray for your leaders. Mm-hmm. So pray for our leaders, everyone of all parties. God, give us wisdom. Help us to cleanse our hearts mm-hmm. in what we're doing and line up with the Word of God. I think, again, it's an opportunity for us to make a lot of adjustments that are good.
That's right. That's right. I want to take a moment to pray specifically about that whole reality in our culture now. Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've given us your word, which clearly helps us know your heart, your will. Your word clearly lets us know what's right, what's wrong, what honors you, what doesn't honor you. And you, amongst other things, you've told us as in one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. Yet, sadly, Lord, we see where so many people, so many individuals, so many politicians and leaders think not only is it okay to take the life of an unborn child, but really seem to emphasize it and support that reality. Lord, help us to recognize in our world that truth is what sets people free. Truth is what blesses people, and truth is what your word is. Help us as the church to boldly rise up and be a bold witness standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. And help us to recognize, Lord, that all of these issues, as Tom alluded to, they're related. We see on the one hand many people trying to preserve life as we've battled the reality behind the coronavirus. But on the other hand, those that are pushing and peddling death, who support abortion and think abortion is not only okay, but think it's a right and try to demand it. Help us, Lord, to be the church you want us to be, that boldly, clearly proclaims what your word tells us, to choose life, that both we and our descendants might live. To stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion, help us to boldly proclaim that. And Lord, help us to not be shy about proclaiming that message and standing for life. And help us to recognize, Lord, that we're to support those individuals and those leaders that would support your truth as well. And help us to be wise about it. And help us to not be ambiguous about it, to know clearly we stand for life and that that's what you've called us as the church to do boldly, courageously, and wisely. We thank you and we praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Tom, would you share with our listeners once again, if they want to get in touch with New Beginnings, again, how they can do that?
NewBeginningsAdoptions.org. Again, that's NewBeginningsAdoptions.org, and there's a lot of information on our website and how to contact us. And if someone's just looking for a phone number, it's 662-842-6752. And if a birth mother is out there looking to contact us, it's 800-264 and the letters BABY, 800-264-BABY.
Okay. In just the last few minutes, Tom, I'm going to briefly share a very familiar passage, and we want to take just a few moments to touch on it before our time ends. But this is Luke chapter 10, what we know as the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And you know, Tom, this is a very familiar passage and a very familiar parable found in the Word of God. Yet the lessons in it for the church are many. They're powerful, but they're also very clear about what the love of God is supposed to look like. You know, one of the many aspects of this, powerful aspects of the story, is that the two of the three individuals that represented or that were supposed to represent the church, it says they passed by on the other side. And they represent hearts who say they're committed to the Lord, their lives that say they're committed to the Lord, but their hearts are not there. And Jesus clearly tells us, go and do likewise, to love like the Samaritan, to love dramatically and radically. That's a right. World. And we live in a world where lots of people have been beat up and left on the side of the road. Just like, for example, an orphan could be considered someone who's been beat up by life and left on the side of the road. A baby that's going to be aborted could be considered someone who's been beat up and left on the side of the road. The question is, what is the church doing? So as our time comes to close, any words of encouragement you'd like to share with our listeners about being the church that God is calling us to radically walk in love as? What would you, any word of encouragement you'd like to share?
I think just praying for wisdom and looking around us. God can certainly give us insights, whether it's our neighbor, whether it's supporting a ministry that is reaching out. Maybe right now it's a food bank. Maybe it's a crisis pregnancy center. Maybe it's an adoption agency. Maybe it's a church that we know is giving and providing for others. Maybe it's another ministry. Certainly American Family comes to mind, because it touches so many lives and impacts so many ministries. It's just woven through all of us and what you do for our country. And I think just, you know, Lord, give us wisdom in our situation. Just look next door. Mm-hmm. Think of a family member. Think of an aunt or uncle you haven't talked to for quite a while. Maybe they live across the country. Who can we reach out to? There is someone there. Maybe it involves that phone call. Maybe it involves a financial gift. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's sending a love offering for those of us that may have still plenty of extra to share. We're not looking for that next meal.
That's right.
What can we share? Maybe it's walking into a large food chain nationally and seeing someone that's there with just a few items in their cart, you can tell when they're watching every penny. Maybe it's handing them that $20 bill or the $50 bill or $100 or whatever and saying, here, God bless you. There's a way to help somebody.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much, Tom. And I think it's good for us to recognize to really follow Christ, it's going to involve us following him radically and sacrificially.
Amen.
In every single one of us then. So thank you so much, Tom, for being with us. And thank you for doing the great work that you do with
Privilege to be here. Love being here always.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.